Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 11. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I'm going to talk to you today about the highest praise. This is Thanksgiving weekend, so it gives us a chance to lift up our spirits above the circumstances. Somebody says, how you doing? Pretty good under the circumstances? Well, we don't need to be under the circumstances if we know the Lord. And so hopefully we can find a little purchase for our hope and encouragement for our steps so that we can soldier on for Jesus. All right. So I want to talk to you about the highest praise. And when I thought about the highest praise, I have to tell you for sure that I was thinking about Thanksgiving. And of course, I've been doing this for about 30 years. So that's at least 30 Thanksgivings, right? So I don't really go back and do messages over again. But what I do is I do try to find passages that are fresh to me. And so I thought about this and I thought, what did Jesus thank God for? So I'm talking to you about the highest praise. I want to talk to you about what Jesus thanked God for. And it's going to take us a minute to get there, but I will tell you, this is where he says, Father, I thank thee that you did not reveal these to the wise and the prudent, but to babes. He thanked God for that. And so we're going to work to that. And the reason he says it later in the chapter is because as he's cataloging his other things he's thankful for, he realizes the only people in this crowd I'm talking to that are listening to me at all are the babes. Now, that word babes is a tricky word, so don't think he's talking about children, okay? I'll get you there. If you go to chapter 11 of the book of Matthew, you will find the passage we're talking about. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Chapter 10, therefore, must be brought back before us because this is what he's coming on the heels of in this chapter. When you see this, I can't help but remembering the old days when they came out with a show called The A-Team. This is a little bit of a reflection of what we have before us in the passage. See, what the Bible says here is it says that it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence. So he's leaving them to do what they need to do. And you remember at the end of an A-Team episode, the colonel would say, I love it when a plan comes together. Do you know what Jesus thanks the Father for? Perhaps one of the top things is when his plan is coming together. Do you know what his plan is? You're his plan. You're coming together today. And that's the right thing. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You're doing the thing that God himself smiles upon, that the Father would receive thanks from the Son over, because this was the encouragement Jesus drew down on, was when God's people were doing what God's people needed to do. And what we're seeing is he's just commissioned his disciples to go out and preach all over Israel, and they've gone, and they're dispatched. The Bible says in chapter 10 that he sent them to these cities, and he says in verse 13, if a house be worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. He's already given them peace. That's what he does. And if you're God's child, he's given you peace. If you're God's child, you already have something to rest your head upon at night. I don't know how people are conducting themselves right now in the world that do not know Jesus. I don't know how they're facing this. I can't imagine what it would be like in that kind of purgatorial limbo where there's people on my right hand side saying, we need to go do this particular medical procedure and get this done. And on the other hand, we have people who are saying, you don't want to be doing that. And they're sitting there with no plumb line, with no idea of what to believe. So they're just kind of navigating by the seat of their pants. And sometimes they're finding that when they do the wrong thing, that they get bit very harshly. And what we're seeing is that people begin to see their loved ones passing away. I did a funeral not long ago of a family that lost a loved one. My brother-in-law had a loved one who passed away not long ago from some of the drama that has evolved from this. Another young man married his beloved. I mean, he was like 24 years old. They just got married. And on their honeymoon, the young man dropped dead. This past week on Thanksgiving Day, a very high up celebrated soccer player collapsed right after he scored a goal. And he grabbed his heart and he fell down. Young man. Picture of hell. It's a crazy day, right? You see, Jesus tells us we have peace, though. No matter where you are on the continuum, you have peace because your days are in His hand. If you've been one who's moved forward in the line as life gives it to you and you just did what you had to do, that's fine. You just trust Jesus, all of it. We got peace. We got peace because he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. It's just, that's the way it is. That's what is true. He's the resurrection and the life. But in all the ways of our day, we see people in our world that are in an upheaval. And I don't know how they cope with it without Jesus. Verse 21 of chapter 10 says, and brother are going to deliver up brother, and the father, the child shall rise up against the parents and cause them to be put to death. It's going to be a little bit of a suggestion of that last day's time. But it was also what he was doing was Jesus was showing the big picture. He was telling his disciples, I'm going to send you out. That's what he did in chapter 11. He says he sent them out and he got back to what he was doing. But he was happy about them going because he had told them what they were up against. You know, he doesn't pull any punches. Jesus tells us how it is. He tells us the truth. He says, they didn't like me, they didn't go like you. And what I want you to see is he's told them it could be this bad. You could be telling somebody how to get saved and it could end up costing them their lives. I mean, he's not telling us anything we don't need to know. I found it kind of humorous. In this past week before Thanksgiving hit, somebody said they had read in an article several ways to save money for Christmas. And the one guy had written in there, talk politics over Thanksgiving meal. That'll save you some money. You see, this day in which we live, we're not allowed to have a conversation or talk about it because somebody's feelings may be hurt or somebody may be upset. It's an amazing day we're living in. Jesus said in chapter 10, verse 25, it says that it is enough for the disciple that he is as his master and the servant as his Lord. He says, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? I'm casting out devils by Beelzebub, according to some. What are they going to call you? You know what they're calling us today? Mentally ill. You have a mental illness if you believe in right and wrong. You have a mental illness. It used to be different. Used to be other things cataloged in those things. But right now they're telling you you're crazy, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're insane, you guys need to just knock it off. We have a couple of situations right now that just happened in the past week. One Asian fella came over from whatever part of Asia he kind of came from in the Far East to visit his family. He got COVID and they put him on a ventilator after a few days. And the family was saying, no, give him ivermectin. They wouldn't give him ivermectin. They would not give it to him. So they got a court order. Actually, it was so bad that they actually put towels around his feeding tube because they didn't want the daughter to sneak some ivermectin in. They were really militant about this. They got a court order to put him on ivermectin. And ultimately what happened was they gave him this ivermectin. He got well and he was out of the hospital in a day or two. But the point is that he was better and the doctor was livid. What doctor's livid over somebody getting better? And we've heard the stories. This is just the recent one I'm giving you right now. They're out there. We're living in a day where some people are saying yes to this, and some people are saying no to this, and some people are saying, not on my watch on this. You're talking about people you're supposed to trust, and then you find out that sometimes they won't hear you when you're trying to advocate. Well, that's your job because you've been signed up. You are the person who is supposed to be advocating. This was the case in that situation. They wouldn't listen. Got a court order. Gave him 10 to 15% chance of living. 10 to 15. That's what the doctor said. 10 to 15% of making it. That's why the judge gave him a court order. And they said all other means have been done. Give him the ivermectin. They got their father back. You say, how does that relate to Jesus and the Bible and witnessing and all that? Because we're living in a day of great deception. It was a deception in that day. Did you know? They called him Beelzebub. Didn't have anything to do with souls. It had to do with him personally. They'd rather have him dead than having a message. And then the people got so caught up in the delusion of their day that when it came down to it, after just having cried, Hosanna to the King, glory to God in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, just a few days later they're shouting, crucify him. That's deception. Do you think there's deception today? I think there is. And I think all of this relates to our day because as it was ramped up in the days Jesus came and a new time was going to be dawning, the days of the prophets were going to be put in the books, the days of Moses was going to be put in the rear view, and Jesus' day was going to dawn in the church age. We're going to talk about that further in a moment because that's what Jesus references in chapter 11. But what I want you to understand is that things were going to change and the demons were rattling their cages and creating a great deal of havoc. They called me Beelzebub. What are they going to call you? Verse 26 says, "Fear not them, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Fear not them which can kill the body," verse 28, "but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." You know how you have peace? You know how you can have peace? You know, he says, let your peace rest. He said, if you have God as your highest fear object, every other fear is canceled out. Does that make sense? It's kind of an amazing thing, right? They've actually said that if you take a rose that is red as they can be, and you take a red lens and you place it over it, that it will appear to look white through the red lens. That's what Jesus does to us. He puts His blood over us. And we are seen as white before the throne of Almighty God. His blood for me. Him for thee. That's what He did. He died for us. He cancels out all our sin. He remits our sin. He forgives it. He sends it away. He became the scapegoat upon which all my sin was laid. And He was driven into the wilderness. The Bible says in verse 31, it says, "Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than the sparrows." And He has just said that not one sparrow can fall to the ground. He says, you got peace. Why do you got peace? Because I know who you are. God knows who you are. Nothing can happen to separate you from me. And no matter how bad it may get out there, it'll be okay because the Father is mindful of you. After He says that, He says in verse 34, it says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Now, does Jesus command us to take up a sword? No. He says, get a sword for self-defense as He's getting ready to leave. But He's not talking about that. He says, they're going to come after you with a sword. If you stand for truth, it's going to happen. It's happened throughout history. There's been all kinds of religious as well as political persecution. People are put to death for standing against the wind, okay? Daniel was cast into the lion's den. The three Hebrews were cast into the fiery furnace. They couldn't kill him, so they had to deal with that. But it was all on the agenda. And it's on the agenda now. Because that's true, you need to recognize that you still, nevertheless, have peace if you know Jesus. The Bible says, having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Not we'll have, we have it. And if you have peace with God, then the great fear object is on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us, right? That's what it says. These are things you have. Now, they're either yours or they're not. But I'll tell you this, that verse on the front of your bulletin speaks to my heart on Thanksgiving because it says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Because of what's going on in our world, I've seen God's salvation in stark relief. Have you not? You know how they take a diamond, you're good and ready to buy. They don't put it out there on the white glazing glass and set it up. They put it on a black felt. Why? Because stark, man, that thing's gleaming. My salvation is gleaming today. And I hope yours is too. Because the reality is that it is all intact. It hasn't changed. All the amens and the yeses are still in there. Every exclamation point is still mine. Jesus is still on the throne. Father is not taken by surprise. All of these things He said would come. And because that's true, I have peace. He gave them all of these admonitions. He says, I came not to send peace, but a sword. But He said they had peace earlier when they went into a house. Let your peace be there. We're the peacemakers, but the world will not like the peacemakers. And the Bible says, he that loses his life for my sake, he's the one that shall find it. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.